سخنران امشب جلسه تهران ای که جلسه رسمی ثبت شده دفتر خدمات جهانی زیر نظر ناحیه 15 الکلی گمنام در تهران است، آقای اسنافی با 41 سال هوشیاری از کشور آمریکا. خانم سلماز جلسه در اختیار شماست.
Dear Snuffy, please start.
Hello, everybody. My name's Snuffy, and I'm a grateful alcoholic. I say I'm a grateful alcoholic every time I speak because I have to remind myself to be grateful that I'm alive still, that I've made it this far, and that I've stayed sober this long.
Salam and Snuffy. Sorry, I need some time to translate. من اسنافی یک الکلی هستم و یک الکلی سپاسگزار، به خاطر این که هر بار باید بگم سپاسگزارم که بدونم که هنوز زنده هستم، تا به اینجا رسیدم و تا الان تونستم پاک بمونم.
My sobriety date is January 11th, 1982. This means I have 39 and a half years sobriety.
تاریخ هوشیاری من 11 ژانویه 1982 یعنی من 39 و نیم ساله که پاکم.
I was born in Texas, which is a big oil producing state in the United States, and grew up basically with a bunch of cowboy alcoholics.
من در تگزاس به دنیا آمدم و با یه عالمه کابوی های الکلی بزرگ شدم.
I remember the first time I ever had a drink. It was around a card table where my family was playing with cards with friends, and they would give alcohol to my brother and I was about 8 years old, because they thought it was funny when we kind of stumbled around the room.
اولین باری که من مشروب خوردم وقتی بود که خانواده من داشتن ورق بازی می‌کردن و من و برادرم، من حدود 8 سالم بود، بهمون مشروب دادن یکم بخوریم و به نظرشون خنده‌دار میومد که ما اونجوری تلو تلو می‌خوردیم.
So I got a taste for alcohol pretty early and started drinking really more heavily in my teenage years.
وقتی من خیلی کوچیک بودم اون علاقه به مشروب رو پیدا کردم و در زمان نوجوانیم شروع کردم سنگین تر مشروب خوردن.
I was lucky because after I got out of school I was a musician, and I think it's one of the things that kept me from dying is because in music I wouldn't get so drunk that I couldn't play. I was always in control before the gig, but after the gig was a totally different story.
Sorry, what's a gig?
It's a where I play, a place I go play.
و من بعد از اینکه از مدرسه اومدم شروع کردم، تبدیل شدم به یک نوازنده و فکر میکنم این نواختن منو حفظ کرد از مردن، به خاطر اینکه من همیشه مجبور بودم در حدی بنوشم که خیلی دیگه وضعم خراب نشه.
You're very good at this.
So, thank you very much.
I first got introduced to AA. I went down to see my father at Christmas in 1980, and I spent Christmas time with him, and I said, Dad, there's something different about you. And he told me a few things, and one of the things he told me, he says, yes, and I quit drinking. Now, my dad was a real alcoholic, so I was shocked and very interested on what he had done.
من رفتم به دیدن پدرم در کریسمس 1980 و به نظرم یه چیزی توش میامد تغییر کرده. ازش پرسیدم که یه تغییری کردی؟ گفت آره، من مشروب خوردن رو کنار گذاشتم. و پدر من یک الکلی واقعی بود و من اون موقع خیلی شوکه شدم.
He told me he had this, he got this book and went to some meetings and it helped him quit drinking. And so I said, show me this book. And he showed me the book, and that night when he went to bed, I raided his liquor cabinet and his medicine cabinet for pills and read as much as I could of the first 164 pages of the Alcoholics Anonymous book.
Sorry, you took some alcohol or?
Yeah, I drank and read the book.
و من گفتم خب پدرم به من گفتش که من یه کتابی بهمون دادن و من به یه جلساتی میرم که اونجا از طریق این کتاب ما پاک شدیم و منم گفتم خب این کتاب به من نشون بده. من رفتم کلی از مشروبای بابام رو و قرصاش رو اینا رو برداشتم خوردم ولی کتاب رو هم خوندم.
I decided at that point that the problem wasn't alcohol. The problem was my wife wouldn't let me drink like a man in my own home. So I promptly came home and explained that to her.
من اون لحظه تصمیم این تصمیم رو گرفتم و به این نتیجه رسیدم که مشکل من الکل نیست. مشکل من اینه که زن من نمیذاره من مثل یک مرد قشنگ مشروب بخورم. و اومدم خونه و اینو به همسرم گفتم.
Within 2 weeks, I came out of a blackout sitting in front of my fireplace. I was a blackout drinker and I had thrown my wife out of the house, all of her clothes on the lawn, and pulled all the telephones out of the wall, and basically had no way to even communicate with anybody. My friends were sitting there just trying to keep me calm when I finally woke up.
This was after 2 weeks from that day.
About 2 weeks from the time I but as, the time I told my wife I was going to drink like a man.
و دو هفته بعد از اون روزی که من اینا رو به همسرم گفتم من از یک سیاه مستی بیدار شدم و دیدم یه سری از دوستان هستن اینجا که میخوان منو کمک بکنن و من همسرم رو انداختم از خونه بیرون و حتی تلفن رو هم از چیز بر تمام پریزاشو کشیدم و فقط یه سری دوستان بودن که اومده بودن به من کمک کنن.
And when I came out of that blackout, it was the first time I called Alcoholics Anonymous. And I called, and we kept missing each other. Finally, they left me a message saying, you know, if you still want to go to a meeting tomorrow, we'll pick you up.
و بعد اولین باری که من به الکلی‌های گمنام زنگ زدم بعد از اون سیاه مستی بود و هی من نمیتونستم اونا نمیتونستم به من زنگ بزنن تا اینی که بالاخره اونا به من گفتن که اگه میخوای جلسه بری ما فردا میایم دنبالت و میبریمت.
So 7 o'clock the next evening these three guys picked me up and they were talking all this stuff I didn't understand. They were talking about steps and God and traditions and it all sounded like Farsi to me.
Good that it didn't sound like Greek to you. Okay. و اونا اومدن منو سوار کردن و هفت ساعت بود و داشتن یه چیزایی میگفتن که من اصلا نمیفهمیدم راجب قدم ها راجب خدا سنت ها و اینا به نظرم مثل زبان فارسی میومد.
Anyway, I went to this meeting. The first meeting I was at, I ended up in a room with a bunch of men I wouldn't have even drank with. They were old and crotchety and all gray-haired and just they weren't my people at all.
و اولین جلسه که رفتم آدمایی نبودن که من حتی بخوام باهاشون مشروب بخورم. همشون سنشون زیاد بود و اصلا آدمای هم جنس من نبودن.
But I stuck around because I wanted my wife back and I knew if that I had to get sober if I wanted to get my wife back. So I did, and I stayed sober for about 6 weeks, and she came back. And then I started drinking something called NyQuil, which is cough medicine, but they don't sell it at liquor stores. So I wasn't really drinking. That was the way I rationalized it to myself anyway.
Yeah. I understand. و من با اینکه از اونا خوشم نیومد ولی برای گفتم برای اینکه من زنم رو میخوام برگردونم مجبورم با هم اونا بمونم و 6 هفته من پاک بودم تا اینکه زنم برگشت و یک شربتی بود که من اون شربت رو میخواستم از داروخانه بگیرم برای سرفه بود ولی من شروع کردم اونو خوردن و خودم رو هی قانع کردم که این مشروب نیست.
So that whole year from January of 1981 to January of 1982, I went in and out of AA. I would get sobriety, and I'd get a chip, a 30-day chip or a 90-day chip, and then I'd go out and drink. And then I'd get another 30-day chip, and then I'd go out and drink again. And that was my pattern that first year.
و از ژانویه 1981 تا 1982 من هی دائم میرفتم تو AA، هی لغزش میکردم، یه چیپ 30 روز، یه چیپ 90 روز، دوباره میرفتم لغزش میکردم و این الگوی من در یک سال اولی بود که با AA آشنا شدم.
I got a chance to go do a job playing music in Australia on a tour and I brought it to my men's group. A very small men's group we had where we went from one person's house to another. It's called a rover. And I brought it up that I had this opportunity to do a job, and everyone in the room said, if you do that, you will drink, except for one person. And he said, if you don't want to drink, you won't drink. And I said, that's my man. I'm going to go, and I'm not going to drink. And I was loaded before I got off the plane in Sydney, Australia.
Sorry, what was Rover that you said?
Rover's where we go to different men's houses every week. It's a different man's house, a meeting, very small meetings.
من یه پیشنهاد کاری بهم شد که برم روی یک توری برای نواختن موسیقی و اومدم توی اون جلسه مردانه‌ای که شرکت می‌کردم که هر دفعه توی منزل یکی از این آقایون بود و اینو مطرح کردم و همه‌شون گفتن تو اگه بری و این شغل رو این کار رو بپذیری می‌زنی و من گفتم که یه نفر اونجا فقط گفت نه اگه تو نخوای بزنی نمیزنی و من گفتم این آدم منه، من باید برم با این صحبت کنم و قبل از اینکه من اصلا از هواپیما پیاده شم تو سیدنی استرالیا من لغزش کرده بودم.
So that whole trip I tried to tell everybody I wasn't drinking and I would run off stage and go to the back of the stage where they'd have drinks poured and I'd drink a couple of drinks and then get my orange juice and just tell them I wasn't drinking. And I did that. It worked for about a month and a half.
و من توی اون سفر همش داشتم به همه سعی میکردم ثابت کنم که من مشروب نمیخورم. من میرفتم بودو بودو پشت صحنه دو سه تا پیک میزدم، بعد یه دونه آپورتقال میگرفتم دستم میومدم که یعنی من مشروب نمیخورم و این برای یک ماه و نیم تقریبا کار کرد.
And then one night, as we alcoholics do, I drank too much. I had the car, and I was downtown Sydney, Australia, and I drove the car back in a blackout, had a girl with me. That's the only reason we know what happened. I hit and run 5 cars getting back to the hotel, parked cars. When I got to the hotel, I drove through the security gate, broke them down, and went up to my room and tore up my room, and I came out of a blackout with the management beating on the door telling me, what are you doing? What are you doing? You can't do this.
So you went with the car to your room?
No. I drove the car through the security gates of my hotel. Then I went up to my room and started crashing my room.
Okay. و به هر حال بعضی وقتا ما الکلی ها یه دفعه خیلی میخوریم و یک بار بعد از یه ماه و نیم این اتفاق افتاد. من در جنوب سیدنی بودم و اونجا خیلی مشروب خوردم، یه خانومی هم همراه من بود و وقتی من داشتم رانندگی میکردم اونجا دیگه سیاه مست شده بودم و به 5 تا ماشین که پارک بود زدم و بعد اومدم همینجوری تو همون سیاه مستی از سکیوریتی هتل هم بهشون زدم و رفتم بالا و اونا اومدن دم اتاق من و بهم گفتن تو چیکار داری میکنی؟ نباید این کارا رو بکنی.
So our tour manager took care of the damages and made everything right. And that next morning, I was so hungover, I went downstairs to the restaurant, and I had a baseball cap pulled down over my head, and I was just trying to get some eggs in my stomach. I was just trying to eat because I couldn't even eat. I was so hungover. Mm-hmm. And this is important. My best friend sat down next to me, and he a fellow I really looked up to. And he made a little small talk, and then he said, Snuffy, I love you too much to watch you kill yourself. When we get back to Los Angeles, don't ever call me again.
Mm-hmm. و و فردای اون روز اون مدیر تور موسیقی ما اومد تمام اون پزینه ها رو پرداخت و از اون خسارات من در اصل یه جوری اونا رو دفع رجوع کرد و فردا صبحش من اومدم یه دونه کلاه بیسبال گذاشته بودم سرم و خیلی کشیده بودم پایین، به شدت خمار بودم و از مستی دیشبم و فقط میخواستم چند تا تخم مرغ به زور بخورم که یکم حالم بهتر بشه و یکی از دوستام که من واقعا دوستش داشتم و بهش با احترام براش همیشه احترام قائل بودم به من گفتش که من انقدر تو رو دوست دارم اسنافی که من حاضر نیستم ببینم که تو داری خودتو میکشی و وقتی برگردیم به لس آنجلس من دیگه هرگز با تو کاری نخواهم داشت.
That really touched me. It really moved me, but it didn't make me stop drinking. I drank for about another 6 weeks. And the tour ended, and I stayed and produced a record for a couple of weeks for some drug dealers. Even telling them I wasn't drinking, but dying to drink. Just couldn't wait to get rid of all the people around me so I could drink.
و اون حرفی که دوستم به من زد واقعا منو دگرگون کرد، ولی باعث نشد که من بتونم مشروب خوردن کنار بذارم و من 6 هفته دیگه بعد از اون همچنان به خوردنم ادامه دادم. با اینی که دیگه تور تموم شده بود من یک کمی توی سیدنی موندم و اونجا برای یک سری درست کسانی که شغل قاچاق مواد مخدر داشتن شروع کردم یه دونه موسیقی ضبط کردن و حتی به اونا هم میگفتم من پاکم، ولی هر لحظه من میرفت میخواستم یواشکی یه رای پیدا کنم که یه پیکی بزنم.
You're so good at this. So I got dropped off at the airport and I got through the security gates and I couldn't wait to get to the bar to get a drink. And when I got to the bar I ordered 100 proofs solely vodka and orange juice. When it came, I ordered another one, and I drank the first one. When the second one came, I ordered another one, and halfway through that second drink, I looked in the mirror and saw a man I didn't recognize anymore.
Sorry, this was in the bar where? In the airport?
In Australia, yes, coming back to Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And I saw a man that I didn't recognize anymore. I had huge dark circles. I weighed 60 pounds less than I do now. And I said to myself, and this is very important, I said to myself, wow, you really are an alcoholic. And in that moment... Oh, go ahead.
و من میخواستم برگردم برم لس آنجلس و توی فرودگاه بودم، از تمام اون چکینگ ها رد شدم و رسیدم به یک بار داخل فرودگاه و یه دونه I didn't know we have 100% vodka.
No.
یه دو تا دونه ودکای قوی سفارش دادم و اولی رو که زدم با یه دونه آب پرتقال، دومی رو فوری سفارش دادم و همینجوری که دومی رو هم داشتم وسطش میخوردم، سومی رو میخواستم سفارش بدم که خودم رو تو آینه دیدم و دیدم که یه مردی که دور چشاش کاملا سیاهی رفته و یه 60 پوند از الان من لاغرتره و به خودم گفتم تو واقعا یک الکلی هستی و این خیلی مهم بود.
I believe at that moment that for me I got God's grace. Because I was just planning to leave there, go back to Los Angeles. That was Christmas Eve of 1981. I was going to go back to Los Angeles and just spend my Christmas with the AA people and then I was going to drift off and go drink. And yet that's the last drink I ever had.
In Sydney.
Uh-huh. In the airport.
و من فکر میکنم اون لحظه بود که رحمت خداوند شامل حال من شد، چون من واقعا تصمیم نداشتم که مشروب خوردنم قطع بکنم و میخواستم فقط برگردم و اون شب یک شب مونده به کریسمس بود در سال 1981 و میخواستم برم یکم وقت بگذرونم با اعضای AA بعد برم به دنبال مشروب خوردنم، ولی اون آخرین مشروبی بود که من در فرودگاه سیدنی خوردم.
So I believe that when I admitted I was powerless over alcohol, that I was really an alcoholic, I believe I worked the first half of the first step and I got God's grace. Because it wasn't me, The obsession to drink was lifted, and that was the last drink I ever had. I came back to L.A. and did some assorted drugs or sleeping pills and stuff until January 11th, when I got called to go back out on the road again. And when I got that call, I got very scared, and I called my sponsor. And he said to me, well, this is where you're going to have to choose whether you want to play music or live. And I chose to live. I called him back and said, I can't do the tour. And immersed myself in that from that point in Alcoholics Anonymous.
و بعدش من از اونجا که اومدم به لس آنجلس تا تاریخ 11 ژانویه یه مقدار دارو و اینجور چیزا ممکن بود بخورم که حالم بهتر بشه، ولی اون موقع بود که به من گفتن که تو باید دوباره به من زنگ زدن برای یک تور موسیقی که تو دوباره بیا روی این تور. و من دیگه اون موقع بود که واقعا ترسیدم و به راهنمام زنگ زدم و راهنمای من گفت تو باید یا موسیقی رو انتخاب کنی یا زندگی رو، و من موسیقی رو و من زندگی رو انتخاب کردم. برای همین زنگ زدم و گفتم من نمیتونم بیام، و از اون زمان بود که واقعا وارد AA شدم به طور واقعی.
So that's when things got tough. I had to move out of my nice home. And I moved into a garage of a friend of mine with my one mattress on the floor, and that's all I had. And I just went to AA meeting after AA meeting. And people would just sometimes take me to work with them just so that I wouldn't be tempted to drink. And people would drive me around in their cars. And, you know, they reached out to me and gave me all that I needed at that point to get by. Even they would even buy extra French fries at a restaurant so that I could eat because I didn't have any money.
و اون موقعی بود که تقریبا سختی‌های من شروع شد، برای اینکه من مجبور شدم از خونه خیلی زیبام بیام بیرون و برم به گاراژ یکی از دوستام و فقط با یه دونه توشک و فقط تنها جایی که داشتم برم اینه که از یه جلسه AA به یه جلسه AA برم. و بعضی وقتا دوستای من تو AA منو با خودشون می‌بردن سر کاراشون برای اینکه من فقط وسوسه نشم، و خیلی وقتا منو با ماشین این برانور می‌بردن و حتی برای من ممکن بود یه مثلا سیب زمینی سرخ کرده اضافی بخرن برای اینکه می‌دونستن من پولی ندارم.
So that was an interesting time of my life. I had stopped playing music. I was working in phone sales where I only made commissions, and I was making about one-tenth of what I used to make, just barely enough to get by. And that year was spent learning about Alcoholics Anonymous and working the steps and getting involved with the spy. I saw a guy with 5 years, and I asked him to be my sponsor, and he's still been my sponsor now for 39 years.
Nice.
Yeah. Want to go ahead?
و من اتفاقی که افتاد این بود که اونجا این قسمتی تقریبا میشه گفت خیلی جالب زندگی منه، چون من از کار موسیقی و اون همه درآمدی که داشتم اومده بودم بیرون و میرفتم چیز میفروختم، تلفن، خط تلفن، و یک دهم اون پولی که قبلا در میآوردم تقریبا فقط در حدی که عمراتم بگذره. و بیشتر اون سال رو من در AA و قدم کار کردن گذروندم، و یک آقایی رو من ازش خواستم، اون موقع 5 سال پاک بود، که راهنمای من بشه، و الان که 39 ساله من تو برنامه هم هنوزم راهنمای منه.
I spent that year without playing, and then I got a phone call to go back and fill in for somebody at a little club, and I was scared to death. I was so afraid that without alcohol, when I picked up the guitar, nothing would happen. So I booked this little gig, and I went down to the gig, and I took my sponsor, and there was maybe 10 people there in the whole club, counting the waitresses. But I took my sponsor because I was so afraid, and I disappeared about 10 minutes before it started, and my sponsor was afraid I was off drinking or using, and got worried. They said, oh, he's in the bathroom. And my sponsor came in, And instead of drinking, I was in front of the urinal praying.
Mm.
And I was praying that there would be some music, that God would let the music come out of me.
Mm. And how many years were sober at that time?
About one year.
و موقعی که من یک سال پاک بودم از من خواستن که من برم برای به جای دوستی بنوازم توی یک کلاب و من به شدت ترسیدم و اونجا بود که توی اون کلاب تقریبا 10 نفر آدم با همه اون خدمتکاراش بودن ولی من راهنمای خودم رو با خودم بردم و من واقعا احساس میکردم من نمیتونم گیتار بنوازم و هیچ موسیقی بدون مشروب و مصرف چیزهای دیگه از من بیرون نخواهد اومد و یه چند ثانیه قبل از این که برم روی اون جایی که میخواستم موسیقی رو بنوازم من غیب شدم و راهنمای من فکر میکرد که من حتما دارم میرم یه جا مشروب بخورم و بعد اومد دید که من رفتم توی سرویس دستشویی و اونجا زانو زدم و دارم از خدا میخوام که بهم کمک بکنه که بتونم موسیقی بزنم.
That night I found out that God gave me the gift of music back. And I began to make a meager living, but a living, playing guitar and playing around town. And that took me through the first 5 years of my sobriety. I was, like I said, very involved with the group. I even started sponsoring guys in that first 5 years. But what I did was really focus on the steps, because in Sydney, I had had that experience with step one. I believe step three, when I told them that I couldn't go on tour and that I was going to choose life, I believe that was taking step three for me. And step two was just coming to believe in between that first drink and that time that I told them I wouldn't go on the road, that's when I came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. I have searched all my life. I've been a Christian Scientist. I've been a Presbyterian. I was a Sufi for a while. I've tried so many different things, and the bottle was the only thing that filled the God-shaped hole in my gut.
What was Presbyterian? Sorry?
Yeah, the Protestant.
Okay. من اون شب بود که فهمیدم خداوند هدیه موسیقی رو دوباره به من پس داده و من شروع کردم به گیتار زدن و میرفتم توی شهر گیتار میزدم جای مختلف و زندگیم به هر حال یه ذره بهتر شد و 5 سال اولم رو واقعا من تمرکزم روی قدم ها بود. شروع کردم به راهجو گرفتن. من فکر میکنم قدم 1 من همون جایی بود که من توی فرودگاه سیدنی بودم. قدم 3 من همون جایی بود که من توی اون به من زنگ زدم و من گفتم من روی تور دیگه نمیام و قدم 2 من بین این دوتا بود، جایی که من به این باور رسیدم که یه نیروی هست که میتونه از من مراقبت کنه و من خیلی وقتا رفته بودم دنبال کارهای مختلفی، مثل حتی صوفی شدم یه دوره خیلی شدید پروتستان، مذهبی پروتستان بودم، خیلی وقتا دنبال خدا تو جاهای مختلفی میگشتم یا دنبال اینکه اون خلای خودم رو پر کنم و هیچ چیزی اون خلایی که با خدا پر میشد رو بجز مشروب تا اون موقع پر نکرده بود.
I had learned because of AA, I had learned that God sends me $1 million check every day with the junk mail. But if I don't look for it, I throw it away with all the junk mail. So at about 5 years sober, actually, some agents spoke to me and asked me if I was interested in writing music for film and television. And I agreed to do it. And the short story is I got on a couple of television shows. They were big hits. And it has been my career for the last 34 years. I bring that up not because of the work, but I bring it up because when I was willing to give up music for sobriety and for my higher power, I got it back times 100. I've had a life in music that I never dreamed was possible, in a field that I didn't know how to do. But God made it all possible for me.
Sorry, I just didn't get that part of with the junk mails.
Of the what?
You said that there's $1 million in your...
That's when you get letters in the mail that are just printouts and they don't mean anything?
Yes.
They're just to throw away, you know, they're like from...
So you really got this in your junk mail, or?
Well, no, it's an expression. It means like it means like God brought me great things every day, and I just threw them away, not looking at them.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. و ایشون یه اصطلاحی به کار بردن که خیلی وقتا ما یه صندوق توی ایمیلمون داریم به نام جانک میل که خیلی وقتا ما اون چیزها رو اصلا نمیخونیم و میریزیم دور و یه اصطلاحی هستش که میگن خداوند یه وقتایی برای ما یه عالم هدایایی داره که ما اونا رو نمیبینیم و فقط میریزیم دور. و اینی که ایشون همون 5 سالگی پاتیشون بود که اومدن بهشون پیشنهاد دادن که بیاد برای فیلم و تلویزیون و شوهای تلویزیونی موسیقی بسازه و 34 ساله که الان داره اون کار رو انجام میده و گفتن وقتی که من حاضر شدم حتی عشق زندگیم که موسیقی بود رو به خاطر خداوند و به خاطر هوشیاریم ازش بگذرم، اون وقتی بود که خدا به من یک هدیه داد، یک زندگی با موسیقی به طریقی که حتی من هرگز نمیدونستم چجوری باید وارد اون بشم و چیزی که هرگز در تصور من نمی گنجید.
It was only because of AA that I understood that my source of everything comes from God. And the music and the careers and all those things are great blessings, and none of them would be in my life if it wasn't for Alcoholics Anonymous. If I wasn't sober, I would be either dead or in jail. And I certainly wouldn't have what I have. And I have a lovely wife who's ill, by the way, and 2 boys, 29 and 31, who are wonderful young men. And all of that's due, every bit of that is due to Alcoholics Anonymous and my higher power.
و اینا همه اون چیزی که من به دست آوردم به خاطر AA و خداونده. من فهمیدم که خداوند منبع و مرکز و سرچشمه همه چیزه و اگر که من پاک نمی شدم یا الان مرده بودم یا تو زندان بودم، در حالی که من الان یک همسر بسیار عالی دارم، 2 تا پسر دارم، 29 و 31 ساله و همه اون چیزی که امروز دارم همش به واسطه الکلیای گمنامه.
When I first came to AA, I had difficulty with the concept of a God as I understood him. So I made, there was a big pole in the middle of the meeting room, and I made that my higher power in the beginning. I also had another friend who told me, listen, if you don't have a higher power, you can borrow mine. And that always worked for me. And I do that with the guys that I sponsor now. I sponsor 10 or 12 guys. And if they're coming in and they're having a hard time with the concept of God, then I tell them they can borrow mine. I call mine the Big Amigo, which is Spanish for the big friend. So.
و من اول که اومدم با مفهوم نیروی برتر و یا خداوندی که خودم درک میکنم مشکل داشتم و یه دونه میله وسط اون جلسه بود و من اونو کردم نیروی برترم. بعضی وقتا هم دوستان به من میگفتن که تو میتونی نیروی برتر ما رو قرض بگیری و برای من این کار کرد. الان هم من گاهی به رهجوام، حالا که معمولا 10-12 نفر رو حامیشون هستم، میگم که شما میتونید فلان از نیروی برتر من استفاده کنید یا اونو قرض بگیرید. ولی من امروز به نیروی برترم میگم آمیگوی بزرگ، یعنی به زبان اسپانیش میشه دوست بزرگ.
So when... How do I put this? I lost my train of thought. One second, I'll be right with you. So, basically, I'd like to get into what I do now and how I
make... What about step 4?
Step 4? Ah, well, we'll get to that. Step 4, I did my first step 4. I went on a Jesuit retreat. We went to a retreat house, and I did steps with my sponsor, Bill, who's still my sponsor 39 years later. I did steps 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, all in one sitting. I wrote my inventory. I included all the stuff that I never, ever, ever wanted put out there. I have an interesting story, although I'm not sure how it'll translate. So let's skip that. So I put everything in there, even, especially the things that I didn't want to. My sponsor asked me at the end, he said, "Have you put everything in here?" And I said, "Well, everything except one thing." And he said, "You got to put it in there." So I did. And I read it to my sponsor, and he just laughed. He said, "Well, I've done all that." And I stayed in that retreat, and then we worked, when we did step five, then we went right to six, because we had already seen all of, made a list of my defects of character that we saw from the fourth and fifth step, and I was able to make a list of that and become humbly willing. And we did that with prayer. And then in prayer, we also made it, turned it all over to God and asked for him to take it away from me. And that was how I worked the steps the first time. I've worked them many times since.
Okay. ما رفتیم به یک برای اولین باری که من میخواستم قدم ها رو کار کنم با راهنما بیل که 39 ساله هنوز راهنمای منه رفتیم به هم با هم دیگه یک ریتریتی یعنی یک جایی که برای الکلی ها اونجا میذارن که آخر هفته یا چند روز پشت سر همه و من اونجا قدم 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 و با راهنمام انجام دادم. من تمام ترازنامم رو نوشتم و همه اون چیزایی که به خصوص اصلا نمیخواستم بنویسم. و وقتی نوشتم راهنمام گفت همه رو نوشتی؟ من گفتم همه رو نوشتم به جز یه چیز. گفت حتما برو اون رو هم بنویس. و اون رو خوندم و خب یه جایی هم با ما هم خندیدیم. و گفت من همه این کارا رو کردم. بعدش من رفتم توی لیستی از نواقصم که توی قدم 4 و 5 هم در آمده بود خودش میشد قدم 6 هم که من با خوندن ما با خوندن دعا من به اون تمایل فروتنانه رسیدم که از خدا بخوام که این نواقص من رو که توی اون قدم 4 و 5 دیده بودم از من بگیره و این اولین باری بود که من قدم 4 و 5 رو کار کردم.
So that take me to step 9. And when I got to step 9 and I began to reach out, most people responded by, "Oh, I didn't even know that," or "I didn't care, you know, I love you anyway." And a couple of people didn't respond well at all. But I wasn't doing it for them. I was doing it for me because I had to clean my side of the street if I was to be comfortable and to be at peace with my God and my fellow man.
Mm-hmm.
So with my 9th step, I already had the list. I made the list in the 8th step. In the 9th step, I just went out and did it. I got it from my 4th. It all stemmed from my 4th step. And I got through my 9th step and then began to work 10, 11, and 12, which I work on a daily basis now.
بعد از اون من از تو همون قدم 4 من قدم 8 هم در می اومد که بعد از اون بعد می رفتم یه سری جبران خسارت ها رو می کردم و من رفتم و آدم ها رو پیدا کردم یه سری هاشون گفتن اصلا ما متوجه این نشدیم یا اصلا مهم نیست یا در هر صورت ما تو رو دوست داریم و یه سری هم اصلا برخورد مناسبی با من نداشتن ولی در هر حال مهم نبود برای اینکه من باید سمت خودم رو توی این خیابون پاکسازی میکردم و برای همین من باید سهم خودم رو پاکسازی میکردم که بتونم در وجود خودم با خدای خودم و خودم راحت زندگی کنم و مهم نبود که اونا رفتار مناسبی با من نکردند و من قدم 10 و 11 و 12 رو به طور روزانه دارم انجام میدم.
So I want to talk about what I do today. My wife got sick with Alzheimer's disease about 5 years ago. And that has, at around 15 years sober, I started not going to meetings as much. I went from 3 meetings a week to 1 meeting every couple of months. And I got away from the program, and I got very uncomfortable, but I didn't drink. And that was crucial. And I went to my sponsor one day and said, I'm really uncomfortable. And he said, you know what? I understand what's wrong with you because I feel uncomfortable too. I'm not going to enough meetings and neither are you. Let's recommit. So at 20 years sober, I recommitted to the program and really felt like I just kind of cruised 2-3 meetings a week up until I was 35 years sober. And at 35 years sober, my wife came down with Alzheimer's.
و اینی که من حدودای 15 سالگی پاکین بود که دیگه کم کم شروع کردم به کمتر جلسه رفتن، مثلا از 3-4 جلسه تو هفته رسید به هفت به ماهی یه دونه جلسه و کم کم از جلسات دور شدم. اون موقع بود که خیلی احساس ناراحتی دوباره از همه جهت منو گرفت و با اینکه مشروب نخوردم ولی واقعا دوباره ناراحت و بدخلق و ناراضی بودم و اینی که رفتم به راهنمام گفتم و راهنمای من برم گفت آره من تو رو درک میکنم، من خودم هم فکر میکنم یکم دارم کمکاری میکنم و بیا دوباره ما خودمون رو متعهد کنیم به برنامه. و اون موقع بود که 20 سال پاک بودم و دوباره خودم رو متعهد کردم به برنامه که حدوداً حداقل 3 جلسه در هفته رو میرفتم تا 35 سالگی پاکیم که همسرم مبتلا به آلزایمر شد.
So, in the first few years, I tried to maintain my sobriety by just going to those 2 or 3 meetings a week. But when COVID hit, it was like a giant mirror came up, and all of a sudden, I was faced with all my defects of character. Everything stopped, and they weren't doing anything, and I just had time to look at myself. And my wife was getting sicker. So I dove back into the program like I've never done before and went to basically 20 meetings a week. Al-Anon involved in there as well. Because I needed to rediscover my higher power that could take on a whole lot, that was a lot bigger than the one I had before. I was faced with, you know, a debilitating disease, and when COVID hit, I began to go down into a depression that I hadn't felt for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. So what I had to do was to dive back into AA, and what happened for me is that COVID became a blessing because I got the chance to get in touch with my God in a way that I never have before. And what I feel like is just the beginning of a conscious contact that I'm going to be able to build on, which is exciting for me.
Yes, it was a blessing, I think, for us as well. و اینی که من یه چند سالی با همون دو سه تا جلسه در هفته ادامه دادم تا اینی که اتفاق کووید 19 افتاد و من واقعا با نواقص اخلاقیم روبرو شدم. همسرم هم وضعیتش داشت بدتر می شد و اونجا بود که من دیگه واقعا استفاده کردم، یعنی شیرجه زدم تو جلسات و تقریبا میشه گفت هفته 20 جلسه من می رفتم، حتی جلسات الانان که بتونم با مشکلاتی که حالا با همسرم و اون بیماری داشتم کنار بیام و دوباره من باید خداوندم رو بازیابی یا دوباره باید باش ارتباط عمیقی برقرار میکردم، به خصوص در برابر این بیماری کشنده آلزایمر. و وقتی که کووید پیش اومد من یک افسردگی شدیدی به من روی آورد که سالهای سال بود اون رو حس نکرده بودن و من به شدت به جلسات برگشتم و الان فکر میکنم که یک موهبت بوده کووید برای من، چون باعث شد من دوباره با خداوند یک احساس نزدیکی برقرار کنم و فکر میکنم واقعا این اون درک آگاهانه ای از خداوند پیدا کردم که هرگز پیدا نکرده بودم و خیلی هم هیجان زده هستم چون فکر میکنم این تازه شروع این درکه.
My program today consists of when the first thing I do when I get up in the morning is that I surrender. I surrender to God. And I say to him, and I don't know how this will work in Farsi, but I say to him, lead me where you need me. It's a very simple prayer to God, I give myself to you. Take me where you need me to be and let me do your work. And by the surrendering and by turning my life over to the care of my God, first thing in the morning, while I'm making the bed, even, and I do that prayer and meditation for myself, it gets me on a good start for a day. And then I have the opportunity to do what is my true goal. I believe God has me here for a purpose. And I think my purpose is to be of maximum service to God and my fellow man. And that's what I try to do on a daily basis, not just for alcoholics, but for everyone. Mm-hmm. And when I go to my work or go to an event or something, if I go wanting something, then I'm going for the wrong reasons. I try to go to see what I can bring to a meeting or what I can bring to my work or how I can be of service. And that is really the mainstay of my program. Understanding mm-hmm. that my purpose, there's a reason I'm here. I should have been dead a long time ago. Mm-hmm. I should have been dead when I was drinking. I did crazy stuff. But I believe God has a purpose for me. Mm-hmm. And the purpose is, I believe, on a daily basis to be of maximum service to God and my family.
خب و من این روز یعنی زندگی ما اینجوری شروع میکنم. اولین کاری که صبح میکنم اینه که تسلیم میشم و به خداوند میگم که خدایا من اون جایی ببر و اون جایی بذار که تو به من احتیاج داری و بذار من اون کاری رو که تو میخوای برای تو انجام بدم. و این شروع من روز منه با تسلیم شدن و این که زندگیم رو همون اول سر صبح میسپرم به دستان و مراقبت خداوند و اینی که من روزم رو خوب شروع بکنم از در این نقطه شروع بکنم خیلی مهمه و من اعتقاد به این دارم که یک هدفی از زنده موندن من بوده و هدف من این بوده که من در ماکسیموم خدمتم به خداوند و به دیگران باشم، نه فقط برای الکلی های گمنام، برای هر کسی. من اگه سر کار میرم برای اینکه یه چیزی به دست بیارم، دارم برای یک انگیزه های اشتباهی سر کار میرم. من باید سر کار برم که ببینم من چی با خودم اونجا میبرم. من باید به جلسه برم که ببینم چی میخوام من با خودم اونجا ببرم، نه اینکه چی گیر من میاد از جلسه. و این دلیل اصلی پاک بودن منه. و من فکر میکنم که حتما یه دلیلی داشته و یک هدفی از این بوده که من پاک بمونم و زنده بمونم و برای من اون هدف ماکسیموم خدمتیه که میتونم بکنم.
I'd just like to say that I hope my coming today has brought some light and some sense of relief for the alcoholic today, because I understand what it's like. And my real job to come here, the reason I said I'd be happy to come is because if I can touch one person, if some aspect of my story at all can move one person one step closer to God or sobriety, then I've done my purpose for the day. Mm-hmm. And I really want to thank you all for having me.
Thank you very much. For sure it did. ایشون گفتن که به هر حال من امیدوارم که صحبت من تونسته باشه کمی نور بیاره و یکم آرامش یا یکم آسایش برای یک نفر اینجا بیاره و حتی یک نفر رو لمس بکنه. اگر من صحبتم بتونه یک نفر رو یک قدم نزدیکتر بکنه به هوشیاری یا یک قدم نزدیکتر بکنه به خدا، من کار خودم رو انجام دادم. Thank you Snuffy, for sure it did. It really brought me light and I'm sure it brought for all of my fellow in Iran.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
If you need any other service, please reach out.
Sure, sure.
Ali knows how to find me.
And yes, I will.
You guys as well.
Thank you very much.
God bless you.
Have a great day.
Bye.